The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Calais Baidlan, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, live from Circa. What's happening, party people?
Nothing much with me. Looking forward to another wonderful football Friday. Big show on tap as usual.
As always, hour number 2 on Fridays, which we have affectionately dubbed Football Fridays. It is going to be the trio, the trinity, the triumvirate.
The trinity.
Got anything else? Nothing?
No.
Chris Felica, the bear from Fox Sports, will talk college football and whatever else he's betting this weekend. Steve Fezzik will join us, with only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, always with pearls of wisdom. And remember, this is in-person Fezzik as opposed to Twitter Fezzik, so we get the nice version of Steve Fezzik. If we threw him behind the glass and he tweeted everything, it could get ugly.
Oh, like Rob Moreno? We should have Steve Fezzik do a segment like that.
Yeah, like Rob Moreno. Dr. Bob will close things out at hour number 2, the pioneer Dr. Bob talking college football with us. That's all in hour number 2. Hour number 1, Mark Borchardt on the Major League Baseball postseason. Jason Weingarten will join us. Kelly and I will again go over our NFL bets. Do we also have a, are we sure for week 6?
Oh, I'm pretty sure we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean, pretty sure?
And I'm playing off the name again. Not funny jokes to start the show.
Somos seguros? Is that how you say it in Spanish?
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Or estamos seguros, I believe. What do we?
Sí, muy bien.
Let us begin with Major League Baseball. We'll obviously talk about the game last night as well. Major League Baseball, though, doubleheader yesterday. One done, one continuing. First, the Guardians and the Tigers. We're going to a Game 5, a Scooble game, if you will. Remember, that was always what the Tigers had in their back pocket. Even if they lost yesterday, they will have Tarek Skubal, the presumptive AL Cy Young Award winner, going in Game 5. That will be tomorrow. Because in Game 4, David Fry provided the heroics 2-run shot in the top of the 7th to turn a 3-2 deficit into a 4-3 lead for the Guardians. And then in his next at-bat, after the 2-run shot, a safety squeeze for the insurance run, which they would need. And the Guardians hold on 5-4 over the Tigers. We're going to a Game 5 again at Skubal against TBD, Kelly. TBD.
Got
to
watch out. He's got good stuff, TBD.
Tomorrow in Game 5. Tonight, of course, Game 5 between the Padres and the Dodgers. It is going to be Yu Darvish going for the Padres against Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers. Dodgers are a minus 142 favorite in this winner take all. And by winner take all, I mean for the right to take on the New York Metropolitans in the National League Championship Series. That will begin on Sunday. So the schedule again is Game 5 Padres-Dodgers tonight. I've got a Padres series bet that's on the line. I've got Padres World Series matchups that are on the line. That's huge for some of us. Tomorrow, Game 5 between the Tigers and the Guardians back in Cleveland, but Skubal on the hill for the Tigers. And then on Sunday, Game 1 of the NLCS, the Mets will either be at the Dodgers or the Padres. And then Tuesday, Game 2 of the NLCS and Game 1 of the ALCS, which will be at Yankee Stadium. Either the Guardians or the Tigers will be traveling there. That's the baseball schedule right now. Speaking of the Yankees, that was the other game yesterday. I had a Royals series bet that went down by the wayside, a plus 180. The Royals end their season really with a whimper. Garrett Cole was spectacular, 7 innings strong, gave up 1 earned run on 6 hits, 4 Ks against 0 free passes. The Yankees bullpen now, a streak of 15 2/3 innings of scoreless ball. And the Royals kind of, this is sort of the story with the Royals this year. It all looked good on paper, but it was kind of a paper tiger. They never really could put it together. I kind of experienced that with my, was it July that I had the Royals in the monthly?
Yep.
It's all there. It just doesn't come together. And then Bobby Witt Jr., their superstar in this series, ends up 2 of 17.
Ooh. Yikes.
And so the Yankees and the Mets are the first participants of the respective championship series, one step closer to a Subway Series.
I am sure Major League Baseball is very upset about this.
That is not a matchup I have, I'll tell you that.
That's all I could think about when I was watching that game last night. I'm like, yeah, they will gladly take the Yankees over the Royals any day. Yankees always.
I got the Padres in this series. I got the Padres in a matchup with both the Guardians and Tigers. So that game tonight is huge for me.
I think I'll ride with you tonight. I think I'm going to bet the game.
Let's go, Padres. Come on. Get it done. NFL last night. Seattle losing at home to San Francisco. The Niners not only win, but cover as well, 36-24. I went over that handicap of that game that I had yesterday maybe three times on the show. Mm-hmm. Right? And I never handicap a game three times in a two-hour span. But I sort of went to the well with it. And one of the big tenets of this was the Niners have been terrible in the red zone on offense. And that those things, while the mainstream media will likely explain it off as well, they don't have Christian McCaffrey. Sure, that's something. I'm not saying it's nothing. It is. But truly what happens with that kind of stuff is it regresses either to the good or to the bad, but it regresses to the mean, generally speaking. When you're a good football team like this who's underperforming, it will more reliably regress to the mean. And it did last night. The Niners, in five red zone trips, put it in the end zone three different times. Didn't the first two. They had to settle for field goals the first couple times.
Yeah.
But they did the last three. And the Niners get it done in a game they had to have if you projected forward for NFC West and NFC in terms of the conference tiebreakers that could have developed. And now the Niners, they right the ship, if you will, now back to 3-3 and get the extra rest heading into week number seven. I just wanted to bring up a few things from this game last night. Let's go to, obviously, a big play in the first half was Purdy to Debo from 76 out to make it 10-0. It was 16-3 at the half because the Seahawks had a sequence at the end of the first half where they had a first and goal at the two and they could not punch it in, could not get it in, so they had to settle for a field goal. So that was 16-3. And then in the third quarter, this is after earlier in the game, LaVisca Chenault had fumbled a kickoff return that led to a Niners field goal. He made amends. This game looked like it was over. It was 23-3 Niners. It looked like a blowout. And Chenault took the kickoff, the ensuing kickoff after the Niners went up with that beautiful pass from Brock Purdy to Kittle in the corner of the end zone. Chenault went 97 yards to the hizzy, 23-10. They then forced a San Francisco punt. Seattle then 13-play, 94-yard drive to get it to 23-17. And then they forced a Niners three and out, and they were getting the football back to try to go ahead in this. But
were you sweating at that point yet?
I wasn't sweating, but I was like, is this really going to happen to the Niners a third time?
I know.
Where they have this huge lead and then they gack it?
Yeah, you were laying 3.5. I had the team total over. I'm sitting there I'm looking at my phone. I guess I was out at dinner, didn't catch some of the second half. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, this is my score update keeps binging. I'm like, just get a touchdown. Need one more touchdown.
But this is the point of the game I wanted to talk to you about, which is, okay, so it's 23-17 now. Again, the Seahawks get the ball back. On the three and out from the Niners, but on that punt, on the ensuing punt, it hits the punt returner in the finger, right? First of all, Niners defender gets pushed into the punt returner, so they picked up that flag. But the Niners then challenge it. They say, hey, wait a minute, not only did you finally get that part of it right, but the ball actually hit the return man. And it goes to review, and somehow it withstands review. And you can clearly see that the football touches the finger of the return man. And so
clearly
it was later explained to us by the official in the booth, Terry McCauley, that New York, where they review this, did not get the enhanced video that Amazon had. They contended, did New York, that they only that Amazon didn't submit the enhanced video, and only once they had rendered their decision on replay did they then show that enhanced footage. So my question is, how can that happen?
Yeah,
because the Niners were getting hosed at that point with that.
Yeah, I mean, what is the NFL? They're not paying for Amazon or something back at the command center. You're like streaming off of illegal Russian streams or something like that to watch games. What's going on back there? I mean, it was obvious. Like you said, it was obvious.
Okay, but so then the Seahawks have all the momentum, but then Geno obliges, right? He throws the pick over the top to Ronaldo Green. Then it's Purdy to Kittle again. Niners go up 12, 29-17. And then Seattle sort of lollygags down the field a little bit. It takes a while, 15 play, 70-yard drive through the two-minute warning, but they do get a touchdown to lock it from nine out on fourth and goal. So 29-24 with 1:44 left. They've got all three timeouts. They kick away, because remember, you got to declare. You got to say, I do declare the onside kick. You can't fake them out with the onside kick. You do declare it. So they didn't do that. So they kick away, which is proper. But then San Francisco, 0-19-yard line, 1:39 left. Guerrero, who's now in for Jordan Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Guerrero goes 76 yards to the Seattle 5. Did he slide or did he get tripped up? We were debating this.
I'll go with tripped up.
I think he was tripped up because if he was sliding, that was the wrong move.
Yeah.
Because you're only up 5 points at that point, and they still have all three of their timeouts. So you don't, and by the way, you have a kicker off the street in Matthew Wright, and you'd only go up 8 even if you get the field goal at that point. So if it was a slide, that was not the way to go. I think he got tripped up. Didn't matter. Kyle Juszczyk in from 6 two plays later. That was Katie Barr the door. 36-24 Niners. Again, the red zone stuff not only regressed to the positive, but that matchup I was talking about between Forsythe, who was in for Fant on the right side of that Seattle offensive line. Nick Bosa didn't get to Geno, but he sure was a hurrying machine of Geno Smith last night.
Yeah, it's tough to watch this Seahawks team just because it feels like they've got all the pieces they need except for an offensive line. And you can't, if you get to these big time games and you got to have Geno throw the ball 50 plus times, like it's not going to end well usually.
Entertaining football game. It is nice when the handicap manifests. Mm-hmm. I will just say that. Those are the nights you live for. Handicapping wise, we'll come back. Baseball with Mark Borchard, what he's betting tonight, what he's betting tomorrow, how he sees the championship series in terms of his line versus the actual. It's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sporttrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110, instant in-game betting, and a concierge player service. Sporttrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and Arizona already, and coming to Virginia soon. Download Sporttrade. Use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book, and I love you for it. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Giuseppe Bera. I just finished a 7.5-hour overnight drive home and was able to get completely caught up with ANG for the week. Listening to you and Kelly for 6 straight hours and not getting bored is a testament to how great the show is. Thank you very much, Giuseppe. Then he goes on to say a few things in detail.
Sorry, Giuseppe, I did not pull in the 7 other tweets you had with thoughts on the show. Sorry.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Thank you. That is very, very kind. This is Trip Tepper on the Megapod. Todd and Gil bickering like an old married couple, like an old married couple, makes me laugh out loud weekly. Side note, I went to Pitt UNC last week. Every time Eli Holstein made a big play, I yelled leaflet without any explanation. The entire section we were seated in was totally perplexed. It's classic. I love it. Michael Burns, getting ready to listen to make, oh, this is talking about the Megapod, getting ready to listen to make my night at work go quicker. He said that last night. And this is from right after that, Gil's Guys, who says, glad to listen for my morning commute. Great work, Gilly. Thanks. Talking about the Megapod there. The Beating the Book Megapod. This week's guest, Rufus Peabody. So listen at your leisure this weekend. Apple, by the way, Apple Podcast, Kelly, a little late in getting it out yesterday.
Yeah, some issues there, huh?
A little late.
Yeah, just a little late. How was Rufus? I haven't got a chance to listen yet.
Rufus is good, but Rufus, it was just there's one exchange in the podcast yesterday. I won't spoil it all. But Todd goes on some rant about he's talking about because Rufus likes Dallas. And Todd and Rufus didn't have much to say. And so Todd challenged him. And part of his challenge was, what do you think about Dan Campbell from Applebee's? And he goes on this whole thing. And Rufus is like, yeah, that would be a problem. It's a whole great exchange.
Anyway, great. Another sharp guy on Dallas this week. Sweet.
I really do wonder some of these guys who are so smart or so kind to come on the podcast, if they leave and they're like, that was something. Aaron Schatz famously goes, I have to get used to the rhythm of this podcast.
I think Rufus and Todd, that should be a one-on-one dinner. And we should just have cameras covering that conversation.
Fantastic. Check it out. Beating the Book Megapod. Let's talk some baseball. Mark Borchardt joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, of course, BaseWinner.com. And he does his BetUS baseball show every day except Wednesdays, I believe. How you doing, Mark?
That's right. And then since not having the day off, I go on your show. So that's how dedicated I am to a numbers game. And who is the voice of sports betting, Gil?
I'm not going to answer that.
No, you are the voice of sports betting. I'm dedicated to the guy who is the voice of sports betting. And you do it so well. And I'm serious about that. And if anybody disagrees with me, they're wrong. That's all. That's all there is to it, Gil.
Jeez, I thought you were going to challenge me.
I'm really pumped up about this game tonight, and I'm more pumped up because Reggie's behind the scene, and he said, "Hey, this is Reggie with VSiN," and it just clicked in my brain. 1977 World Series, Reggie. So I've got this October fever in me, Gil. Yeah. I'm pumped up about this game. I think this game's going to be really cool tonight.
Reggie Jackson, famously 3 homers in a game to seal it for the Yankees against the Dodgers in 1977. We have a gentleman behind the scenes with the same name. Happens to be the same guy, Mark. I don't know if you know that. It's Reggie Jackson doing that behind the scenes.
Great director.
I thought you were going to challenge people to a fight a second ago, Mark.
No. I'm just saying they're wrong. You know what? In all seriousness, so you've been around this industry as the voice, in my opinion. Since you were doing the beat, what it was, Betting Dork Podcast.
The Betting Dork. Classic stuff.
Some of those monologues are classic. So anyway.
Thank you, Mark.
Mark, we appreciate you always being ready to come out of the bullpen. That was the you got the quick call and you were right. You were right in there. You were running to the mound.
I have to say,
Kelly, I couldn't resist. This game is so cool tonight. And it doesn't get any better. The Cathedral of Baseball. It'd been 32 years since I went there. I went there in July, and I'm not making this up, guys. I started to cry. I really did. It's such an awesome place to watch a game, Dodger Stadium, and gosh, I can't get to 5 o'clock already when the game starts. I'm ready to go here.
Man, I haven't been there in like 30 years. Probably.
I have never been to a game at Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium. It is now. It's hard to believe this. It's the third oldest ballpark in baseball. Wow. Right, Wrigley and Fenway. Or Fenway and Wrigley, I think, if I'm doing the proper order. But then it is Dodger Stadium. Like the fact that the Giants and the Dodgers moved together to the West Coast in the early 50s, right? That is now the third oldest ballpark, Chavez Ravine. I hate that you're wearing a Dodgers shirt, though, because that tells me you're on the Dodgers tonight.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the first 5 Dodgers. I really like Yamamoto. I think Yamo will be there tonight. He got rocked a little bit when he came out on Saturday, but if you look at his velocity, that's looking pretty good. You look at the body of work, last 17 median. I mean, I've got him the number 10 guy in baseball. I think that's why you pay the guy big money, Gil. And I can see this. I'm going to play my official play will be the first 5 Dodgers, but I can see this going first 5 Dodgers. And then the Padres to win the game. And if you want to do that, you can. There's places where you can bet first 5 Dodgers, Padres to win the game at 9-1. I wouldn't hate anybody for making that play, Gil. They would be right if they made that play.
Because you, like me, have some Padres futures, right?
I do. I've got a lot of Padres stuff going on. And I don't know. I'm kind of torn because, you know, growing up a Dodger fan and then having the money, I think I want to see this happen. Maybe that's why I'm making this bet. I want to see the first 5 happen. The numbers indicate that. But the numbers also indicate that San Diego could come back in the late innings, Gil.
What's so interesting about this week is that we thought Jason Weingarten was the Dodger fan. He was completely disavowing that he was a Dodgers fan. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I never knew Mark was. And Mark apparently is the Dodgers fan in all this. Jason coming up coming up on the show.
Trying to find those double result odds. But, man, I stumbled upon Somich's favorite bet again.
Yeah.
Like Dodgers minus 105 to bat, not bat, in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Are you familiar with that market, Mark? What Kelly's referring to, and we give Mike Somich full credit for this, Mike Somich, VSiN host, full credit for this. You have to dig down in DraftKings. It's not easy to find.
No, it's not at all.
But it's there, which is, you know, take a home favorite like this. And I'm not sure if minus 142 is the best pocket, but there is a range where it's awesome, where a favorite where you don't want to lay the juice, you can play them for an unbelievable discount, but the market is won't bat in the ninth, right? So in other words, you're just Xing out a ninth inning win or an extra inning win, if you will. Pretty interesting way to play a game.
That's an interesting bet. I haven't really fooled around with it. But, you know, the people are saying, well, this Dodger bullpen is really looking good, but I don't see it. And this is what their K-minus BB percentage is in the playoffs, 10%. It's only the only team worse in the playoffs than them would be the Kansas City Royals. And then if you look at the Padres, 25.7% strikeout percentage from their bullpen, 6% walk rate, 19.7. That is second best to the Cleveland Indians. So I think that there's some scenarios here where the Dodgers can win first five and then the Padres ultimately get it done, Gil.
Found that price over at DraftKings right now. That is 11-1 you can get Dodgers five and Padres
11-1. There you go. Thank you, sir. Okay, tomorrow we don't have a pitcher for the Guardians yet, but we know it's Tarek Skubal. Do you see any scenario where you play the Guardians in that game?
Yeah, I'm going to play the Guardians tomorrow. I think that mix and match bullpen, and you know, they talked about chaos with the Detroit bullpen, and they've been serviceable. You look at their K-minus BB percentage in the playoffs, this bullpen that they call it chaos. It's fifth out of 12 teams. Cleveland Guardians. After 3 years, I'm getting it down. Most of the time, it's the Guardians. They're number one in baseball by that metric. Skubal's great. There's nothing, you really can't find a chink in Skubal's armor. But I think that Cleveland has a little bit better hitting, and that bullpen is so tremendous, Gil.
All right, Mark, I'm going to ask you to speculate here and give us your best guess at this. Yankees, Guardians, Yankees, Tigers. Those series prices would be?
Well, I can tell you what the Yankees – I have the Yankees at about a 60%. So I'm thinking minus 150, and that's – I'm just kind of looking at my simulations. It could be Detroit. It could be – Cleveland, so it's kind of a merge between it, but I would say minus 150 for the Yankees there, Gil.
In either case, roundabout.
Yeah, probably for me a little bit less if they play the Indians or the Guardians rather than the Tigers.
All right, and then how big of a dog will the Mets be to either the Dodgers or Padres?
I think it's that for me. That should be a close series. I've got the Mets 46%, so a slight underdog, Gil.
Merge the two potential.
Yeah, I think what I have right now I have the Dodgers with a 56% chance to win this game. So it's pretty much half and half with that. Whoever comes in.
I'm probably a little surprised that you have it at 46%. That's interesting to me. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's go, Padres.
Hey, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun either way.
Except for your first five bet, of course. We'll come back. The NFL, are we sure? And our bets next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside as well. This hour, Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, Steve Fezzik, only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day, will join us to talk NFL, and Dr. Bob, the Pioneer, talking college football on a Football Friday. It don't get no better than this, I believe the old Milwaukee beer commercials used to say. First, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Judd O'Connor, you could tell Mike McDonald is a new coach based on that time management at the end of the first half. You want to hammer in Walker, give yourself enough time to run it on the goal line. I don't know if I saw it that way at the end. They got it to the two. They got it down there as quickly as they could, I suppose. But I don't know if that was a Mike McDonald issue, for me anyway. Maybe I saw it wrong. Hoops by Hoots. I was watching the WNBA game. There were three missed calls in regulation/OT that would have most certainly have been overturned with replay. WNBA changed the rules this year that nothing under 2 minutes is auto-reviewed and must be challenged, but didn't give the teams any challenges. Of course, the big one was before the Breonna Stewart free throw attempts. The ball actually went off her foot on the previous possession, and it went to a jump ball instead of giving the ball to the Lynx. That was the biggest sort of one of the bunch. But yeah, that marred that game for sure. Oh, look, it's Bobby Knuckles, everybody. I think there's a segment there, Spite Bets of the Week, the bets you make a few drinks in and after the game has not gone your way, open to sponsorships. Yes, that would be a very responsible segment of us. Xavier 82 says Kelly Bidlin yells, "Just give me my steak," talking about his steak experience last night with all the bells and whistles. This is from Rhodes, 14-1 Jaguars to come back for the South. They're really only chasing the Texans. There are crazier bets, I will say that for sure. And then a few about Jason. Shades of Mako, who rocks more chest hair out, Kelly or Jason? Kelly that one time more out, but Jason's is darker, so it's more unsettling. You know what I mean? Jason H11, for some reason, I kept looking over my shoulder for the cops during that interview. And Spence says Jason looked like an extra from Boogie Nights in today's appearance. I always appreciate the feedback on all this. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He's at Fox Sports. He has his own podcast called the Bear Bets Pods, which he does in college and pro football. And he has our buddy Will Hill on there as well. Sammy P, Jeff Schwartz, part of that podcast crew. And of course, he's part of Big Noon Saturdays at Fox for college football. It's Christopher Felica, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I've had better nights and better mornings. Uh-oh. Well, I lost a lot of earning power last night with the Royals going down to the Yankees and then the WNBA game. I got a lot of cross-sport futures that had the Liberty and the Aces, and then obviously they played in the semifinal. And then for the Liberty to give that game away the way they did last, they were up 19 in the first half, and then it was a 15-point lead late in the game, and to lose that game is really disheartening for me. So hopefully we'll bounce back this weekend in college football.
I was going to say today is a new day.
Liberty can bounce back, maybe win one in Minnesota, win this thing at 5. All I have heard from for the previous segment.
Yes.
That Kelly had a $1,000 steak for dinner last night.
Did he say a thousand? I missed the $1,000 part. Yeah, he went to this restaurant right at Fountain Blue where they don't just give you a steak. There's like all these bells and whistles. There's like music and it's loud and, you know, Kelly's getting older and the music makes him crazy a little bit. He wants it turned down.
I like it.
Yeah. By the way, what did you have the Royals in? Did you have them in the series?
I had the Royals at 40-1 to win the AL.
Oh, I see.
At 49-1, and then I had them wheeled in World Series matchups with the teams with everybody except all the teams that are left, I should say. So,
okay.
Yeah, the Royals Padres World Series would have been a well into six-figure score for me, but
the Royals,
not going to happen.
On paper, like I said, that team was pretty. Mm-hmm. You know, like the starting pitching was good. The lineup, at least the front part of the lineup, was really reliable until Bobby Witt went 2-for-17, right?
Yep.
And then the bullpen got good at the end of the season, but wasn't really that good all year. So it just didn't work out. They went out with a whimper.
Lineup really, really hurt. Yeah, give Cole the credit last time. He dealt last night. He's been great for the Yankees.
Gerrit Cole was fantastic, and the bullpen has been fantastic, and the Yankees on the cusp of a World Series. Got to get by their championship series opponent, of course. All right, let us begin with college football, sir. What do you like best?
This was a really difficult week for me. There wasn't a ton that stuck out to me. I did wind up taking Ohio State -3, and the old favorite and under in both games. I have Ohio State -3 and under 54 in the game at Autzen. The reports out there that Birch, Oregon's one of their better, if not their best defensive end, their best pass rusher, may be out, which obviously would hinder their ability to slow down Ohio State. But I still think Ohio State, with the running game going on, Chip Kelly primarily, like Jeremiah Smith has been the talk of the Ohio State offense, but they are still a run-based offense. I still think you're going to see a ton of Judkins, a ton of Henderson, and then obviously Will Howard will connect with Ibuka and Smith when he needs to. I still think the Oregon defense is pretty good. So I think it's a lower scoring type game because I think the biggest edge in this game goes to the Ohio State defense versus the Oregon offense. I think with Downs and the secondary of Ohio State, I think they're going to make life very, very miserable for Dylan Gabriel. So I did lay the 3 with Ohio State, and I did take under 54 in that game at Autzen. That was where I landed there. And then a lot of the other stuff has moved. I grabbed USC team total under 22.5. This line's been weird too. This line's been coming down quite a bit in this game, where Penn State's now dropped, I think, to like a 3.5, 4-point favorite. But I don't trust Penn State to lay points in this game because I still have concerns about their offense and who knows about the health of Nick Singleton, who didn't play last week. But I think that USC offensive line is still really bad. I think the Penn State defensive front, I think they're seventh in the country in success rate on defense. I think the Penn State defense will make life kind of tough. And like, this is an SC offense that struggled on the road in Michigan, that struggled even more so on the road last week at Minnesota. I like the under here, an under 22.5 team total for USC. And I, excuse me, and I'm mad at myself I didn't get on it earlier in the week, but I did wind up taking Colorado on the money line against Kansas State. Again, this number has come down quite a bit. It looks like it's one-way action on this game, where the number I'm getting now certainly isn't as good as it was early in the week. But in looking at this matchup, I just came back to, A, how poor Kansas State's defense has been on the road. Giving up a ton of points at BYU. I know a lot of them came in a flurry in like a cluster type situation. Tulane scored a bunch of points on them. And now you're going against a Colorado offense with two best offensive players in the conference, maybe two of the best offensive players in the country. And the way Colorado's defense stood up to the UCF running game a couple of weeks back with Jefferson and their backs, it's kind of the same thing they're going to see from Kansas State. Maybe the offensive line is a little bit better, but I think Colorado money line was a play as well for me. So I landed there. I wound up laying the points with Texas in this game, minus 14. I think a lot of people are thinking rivalry game, 8 of the last 10 times with a double-digit spread, the dog is covered or whatever it is. But I just don't see it with Oklahoma. Like, you're looking at an offense that is 117th in EPA, power four worst, 13 plays at 20 yards, 26% on third down. All their wide receivers are hurt and not going to play. This is a Texas defense that has been great this year. I know it was cliche for the SEC undefeated teams to lose last week, but I don't think it happens here. I think Texas winds up winning this game, pulling away late in the second half. Against an OU defense, I think that'll play well. And then one little bit of a word of warning for everybody out there.
I like it.
This maybe even applies to you a little bit. Everybody loves Pitt this week. There's no way they're going to come back and bounce back after blowing that game to Miami late in the wee hours of the morning Saturday. Pitt's minus 3. The world is on Pitt. And the line hasn't budged. Like, that would concern me. Now, I'm not saying it means play Cal, but everyone who thinks they have tomorrow's newspaper and just assumes that Pitt's going to roll on this game, I'd be a little bit careful there.
You're correct. I am on Pitt. I have a follow-up question. Are you aware of who plays quarterback for Pitt? I'm just curious. Are you familiar?
Yes.
Okay.
Leaflet poster child, Eli Holst.
Just curious. A couple follow-up questions. Give me the team in college football right now in your opinion. I'm not talking about the Ohio States or the Alabamas, Georgias, Texases, or Oregons, but give me a team right below that you think is most poised to make noise in a playoff that could actually advance.
I will say Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Because I think defensively they're really good up front and their offense has kind of evolved. I mean, Wigman was out with the injury and the way he played last week against Missouri. I mean, I don't want to be prisoner of the moment, but they were great last week against a Missouri team that we all kind of thought might have been a little bit overrated. But A&M, because of the combination of what they have on defense, and now if Wigman can play that way, I think they will be a dangerous team in the playoffs. I think they're going to get their schedule.
If you had a vote for Heisman and the Heisman was being voted on right now, who would be your winner?
Travis Hunter. I think he is the best player in the country. What he's 130-something snaps a game, impact player on offense, impact player on defense. I think he is the best player in the country.
Would you bet him at current odds?
No. No, and I say that because I have him bet early in the year at 6-1.
Okay.
So it's like I wouldn't bet him at current odds. No.
Rando Felica bet on the way out in any sport? What do you got?
Packers -5 Sunday. I think the Cardinals are kind of this week in, week out type team. I think last week's game in San Francisco was more about the Niners not having a kicker and the Cardinals just kind of being professionals and being like, we gave up 40-something points the previous week. So we're going to win a man up this week and play better. So I think Packers are pretty good. Packers -5 against the Cardinals.
Thank you, sir. Chris Felica, everybody. Coming back with Steve Fezzik right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.